Memo to whoever is going to organize the 60th, do not use the word break. For any reason. I had anticipated a basket quietly going around, people getting up quietly for a cup of coffee. It's good. Everybody's getting some hugs and getting to know each other again. That's cool. We're out of sugar. A call has been made that there are 200 addicts up in the patient care building without sugar. Could get ugly. Okay, we're gonna pick it up. And we were in the midst of the 75 to 79 year folks, and there's a bunch. So Dwayne was there. He is. Dwayne was next in line. Thank you.
I'm short of breath, so I'm trying to do this quick. I'm Dwayne Essen, and I'm an addict. I actually came to Eagleville June 9th, 1975, but I was introduced to NA through Chester County Farms. I was in Chester County Farms, and I was trying to make my way to the dining room to make a hookup with the guy that worked in one of the guys that worked there. And it just so happened there was a Saturday morning, there was a panel of guys sitting up there, and the guard asked me where I was going, and I said, he said, "Oh, you're going in there with the Maddox." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So I went in, and my thinking thinks it was there's a bunch of like three white guys, and they all looked like they were 6 foot tall, and you know, and I told them I didn't want what they had, but they told me that if you ever need us, look us up. And I remembered that. When I got to Eagleville, the sheriffs dropped me off in Chester County Farm. And one of the first things somebody mentioned earlier, they used to have two, what we call now, I guess, H&I meetings on the ground. And each group had to take a day and be like the chaperones for that meeting, had to set it up and stuff like that. And I remember I got the chance to do that for the NA, and I don't know, for some reason I felt, it made me feel good. That became, I guess, my hope to NA. And it was new, and it was unorganized, and it wasn't like the other fellowship, you know. And I guess I wanted, that fit my personality. So when I got out, I got in a little trouble with gambling with some of the guys who were in there, and started some of my old behaviors again, like stealing, you know, and spending my money foolishly and stuff like that. And I needed something different, so I started going to NA meetings around Norristown, and I got involved with a service. They said they needed help, and they let me cheer meetings, sit-up meetings. I went to area, and they let me be the literature person. So they pulled me in, and I liked that. And I stayed around a long time doing that. I also had a couple other reasons. I remember I had a car. I was one of the few people that had a car and a bank account. And I had a young lady that had a phone. So, you know, I had all the trappings, I think, for me. And one thing about chairing meetings, I got to pick the speakers. And I actually like to pick the young ladies to speak. And because I'd come pick them up, and we'd go have coffee, and, you know, they'd speak at the meeting, and I... But anyway, you know, there's all kinds of reasons to keep coming back, but they kept me coming back. And eventually I got trapped in that too. But I stayed around the program for pretty much like an 8-year stretch. And I got caught up in other addictions. And I got caught up in gambling. And I found out the gambling basically the same as drug use. You know, it took me the same way. I became irresponsible, unemployable, derelictic, and all that stuff. And then I ended up picking up drugs. So it wasn't that I had to pick up drugs. I wasn't jonesing for them, but that was my, I guess, way of punishing me. So I did that, I did it like three times in the last 44 years. I did a long time, clean time, not. But I look back now and I realize that was part of my behavior. That was part of my life even before I got here, that I always had a certain point in life where I just say, screw it. And do something harmful to myself, even though I knew it was harmful. But I don't know, growing up is tough. but one part I liked about this fellowship and this program was that they always said, keep coming back, and come back no matter what. The main thing is not, the shame isn't in using, the shame is in not coming back. And my story, that's what I have to give, to offer to anybody that's in it, is keep coming back no matter what. It's just saying, even if your gulas fall off, put them in a wheelbarrow and bring them back to the meeting. But the program, and I have other things. If I look back over my life, all my successes and all my good times were basically in this fellowship. I had opportunities to, go back and reunite with my family, and for some reason, I didn't need them anymore. I found what I needed in these rooms, where, not so much in the room, but in the people, in the fellowship, a sense of being long to something and having a purpose. And I think that's what it is, and the purpose is to share my experience, strength, and hope. Share what I got, and that's all I got, and it's good enough. So I keep coming back. Eagleville was, to me, Eagleville was where N.A. got the hug, because I remember we used to practice, they used to tell you how to hug in here. You hug a guy, you don't pat him on the back, beat him up, you hug him, you pull him in your chest, wrap your arms around him, and you hold him. And same way with women, don't be afraid to hug women. But, a hug is a hug, and it's a good feeling. And I remember even going to California in 85, and they were still basically shaking hands. So I do believe that the hug is from this area. And it's a big part of NA today all over the world is the NA hug. I'm here, and thanks for the machine.
Hi, I'm Jim in Illinois. And in 1977, I was dating a young lady, and she happened to be Bobby Mack's niece. And he 12-stepped me. And it was kind of sneaky, I got invited over for dinner. And he had the pamphlets waiting for me, the little white book. And at 17, I didn't have a problem. And almost 20 years to the day, I walk into a meeting after leaving this facility. And who's in the meeting and sitting there, and he's rocking an empty chair saying, kid, I've been waiting 20 years for this. And he remembered. And that was my beginning, and it saved my life, and that's all I have.
Hey, family. Hey. I'm a original. They were waiting. I was going to chicken out. I started back in Harrisburg. I had just had my daughter, January 14, 1972. And I was going to give her up for adoption because my mother already had my son, and I didn't want to burden my mother by giving her another responsibility. And she was a single mother. And It started on there in Harrisburg. You had the doctor, and I was on methadone at that time. So I had made a decision that I wanted to get off of methadone and start a new way. Plus, I had a little help from the legal system because my mother went to the assistant district attorney and demanded that he help me. So we walked around trying to find different places for me to go. And I said that if I stay in Harrisburg, then I'm not going to stay clean. I would have all the intention, but I know once I walk out the door and start walking down the street, something would draw me, and I hadn't became powerful enough to resist that. So I had to say that I would come to someplace else. So going to this doctor who was giving out the methadone, who was the family doctor in the community, he said, okay, I have a place for you to go. At that time, as I said, I was giving my daughter up for adoption, so I thought that I was going to get dosed and sign papers to sign my daughter off into the foster care. To my surprise, my mother was there, standing there, and she signed and said no, that she would take my daughter, and that the doctor, Dr. Nichols, got me into Eagleville. So I had to travel from Harrisburg to Eagleville. Now that's a foreign, Eagleville is a foreign country to me. I had no idea where I was going. And when I was scheduled to catch this bus to come to Eagleville, my mother was laying on the couch and she had her back turned. And I was saying, Mother, I'm leaving. And she never moved. So to this day, as I look back, it's something in the gospel that where it says that all this sin was happening in this town, and someone was praying to the Creator that if you allow a certain amount of people to go, then I wouldn't destroy it. So it came down to the point to where my mother said to whoever she was praying to that if you save my daughter, then I will be forever more grateful. And the message was, once I save Grace, you cannot look back and help. You have to let her go and do it all by herself. So I remember getting on the bus and getting off, and I had to walk down from wherever they left me off at the road up there. And that was one of the longest walks that I ever had in my life. And this is totally different. I have no idea what this is right here now compared to 1972, which was nothing but mud, dirt, grass, and all that good stuff. It was the rich stuff. Anyway, I said I was going to do 2 minutes. So I came here February 27th, 1972, not knowing anything about what I needed to do. I was totally unknowledgeable of what was needed in order to stay clean. So with them starting, Eagleville starting different meetings in the building here, and that was part of the stipulation, as in treatment, that you had to go to anything and everything that was going. So I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to stand here today, 2019, and saying that this soil, this place, helped me to understand what it was all about in reference to loving myself. I thank you for listening to me at this particular time.
I'm George, I'm an addict. Moose has some expectations. He sold the cake, and so he's not sitting too well right now. But I have some help here that are watching him. I got clean February 27, 1977. My first NA meeting was in Today Outpatient that Dutch had started. I didn't know I was going to an NA meeting. A guy took me there, and it was, I think at the time, it was the only meeting in Bucks County. It was March 77. First time I felt at home anywhere. I knew, like, you know, that this was right, but at the same time,
you know, I wasn't looking to get clean. I wasn't like, basically I was looking for a mental institution. And that's, you know, I hallucinated my first 40 days clean. And that's what I thought I had done permanent damage. But I wound up at that meeting. I remember feeling home I went through the outpatient program there. They didn't recommend us going to meetings or anything like that. I did, though, attend. I was listening to some of the meetings that people were talking about. I went to the Collegeville meeting. I went to Lansdale. I think Lansdale was Monday night. Collegeville was Thursday night. I went to Friday night in Oxford Circle. Those were all meetings in early recovery that I went to. I didn't go to the Byberry meeting, though, because I was afraid that if I checked in, I wouldn't check out. And I had some friends that were telling me that it was a really good meeting, and I was like, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I didn't really get serious with NA until I got until I completed outpatient. And what I found is, like, what do I do now? You know, and someone had suggested that we start a meeting. We started it on Mill Street in Bristol in 79. And I was looking, thank God I saw that book there, because I spent months looking for intergroup. And if you look at, like, I think 76 or 77, it stopped being intergroup and became area service. But I was trying to find out how I could get the group that we started part of Narcotics Anonymous. And eventually we wound up coming to Norristown. And I'd seen Bill, who spoke earlier. He was the area chair. And I think Ray T might have been the previous one. Maggie was the secretary. And that was like joining NA officially. I wound up in there. I wound up becoming a public relations chairperson. That was my first, like, real service commitment to Narcotics Anonymous. But around that time, we started, a couple other groups had developed. Somebody had talked about the AA 12 and 12. Our third meeting that got started was a step meeting, and we had the AA 12 and 12. We doctored it up, we crossed it out, put Narcotics Anonymous on it. Where it said alcohol, we put drugs. And that was, we were also, and this is in Lower Bucks, the local rehabs there were, I think it was 18 and younger, so there wasn't anybody over 21 that was in our area, that was in our group. And there's four guys today that have been clean 39 years that attended those meetings for the first time. We had no idea what we were doing. We didn't know about step work. We would actually give feedback if you were chairing or speaking and you shared. I got to tell you what you needed to do, and so did the guy next to me. We had no idea what we were doing, but that didn't stop us. But that was how, because that was therapy. That's all that we knew, you know. And I don't know, that disappeared like somewhere, like it just, overnight it was like that, it was gone, you know. But I remember that distinctly, you know, and I remember the hugs, you know, it was always hugs from day one, you know. You know, NA changed, and you know, I mentioned the, you know, we had the, oh, that's what I wanted to talk about, I'm sorry. I wasn't planning on speaking here, and I was like, who's going to speak, I wonder, you know, but, so here I am. But we had, our experience was that we were like 21 and younger, and there was a guy that came in, he was about 23 years old. That means I get 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. And I remember our experience was that there wasn't any older people in there, and we wondered if this guy was seriously going to make it, because he might have been too old to get NA. You know? But that's where we were at. You know, it wasn't until the East Coast Convention
It wasn't until we found out that we weren't supposed to use the AA 1212 that we got involved with, you know, some of the writing in the basic text, and we got involved with the East Coast Convention, and we got involved with the regions being formed, and all that stuff brought in a lot of new knowledge from a lot of different places, and we started learning what NA was. I remember when people would get involved, people would ask me, who was your sponsor? And I would look at them and I'd go, I've been clean 3 years. That would be my answer, and they would look at me like, what does that mean? You know, what step are you on? All of them. I got clean. The freedom that came from, you know, being a part of this, and this is just amazing, you know, and I really get to see a lot of people that have, you know, what they done with NA made it possible for when I got here that there was something here, and, you know, I just want to thank everybody. Thank you.
Girl was at my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. A woman over there took me by the hand because I didn't want to go in, and she raised her hand and said, this woman has 6 months clean today. That hooked me. That hooked me. I was in a hospital down the street. She was too humble or scared to say it herself, but that hooked me. That made me say, wow, 6 months clean, and she doesn't live in a hospital? That was my thing. I'm Sharon. I'm definitely an addict. I'll try to do 2 minutes so Mary can have the other five. No, stay here with me. I'm scared.
Okay.
So she was in my first meeting, and I hope she'll be in my last meeting. Anyway, I was in a hospital down the street. All these people that had gotten clean in Eagleville came in and had a meeting there. And I was like, where is this Eagleville place? They're like up the road, and they're trying to do the same thing here that we're doing there. I had been, from 69 to 78, I had been detoxed every year from opiates. And as soon as I got out of wherever I went, I'd shoot dope again. As that person said, I walked down the street, and I didn't know what else to do besides go cop. So I was in this hospital probably April of 78, and the shrink comes in and says to me, I think after we detox you, you should think about going to this place where they're starting a program. And he said it was modeled after Eagleville. And I said, I've been in this place, that place. I'm so sick of people sitting in circles yelling at me, making me sit on chairs, wear signs, not be allowed to talk. He said, no, this is different. They have these meetings where people just like you are coming in and telling how they're doing it on the street, how they're staying off drugs, living outside of a treatment center. He never said it was called Narcotics Anonymous. He just said, they're helping people getting out, stay clean. And I said, all right, that fast, I went. And I was just so sick and tired of being sick and tired. When I seen her take me by the hand, show me that love, and her sitting there like 6 months glowing in a meeting, 6 months without drugs, Narcotics Anonymous, saved my life, it gave me a life. So this time, 41 years ago, I was in a nut house because I had again did the same harm to myself that I constantly did. And these people from Narcotics Anonymous, all because that little white book that came to Eagleville, came in and saved my life. And I have the best life. I worked my ass off for 30-something years, 2 jobs, 3 jobs, went back to school. Now I'm retired, and my life is a vacation. My life is kayaking, beach, listening to music outside, making meetings, and helping the newcomer. So here's my girl, Mary.
Hi, Lee. I love Narcotics Anonymous. It's so fucking amazing. My very similar to get here. Oh my God. Okay, so all right. So I'm from New Jersey, all right, and I did everything you could possibly do, you know, drug wise, and I OD'd a lot and a lot and a lot. My last OD, I was in Trenton. And I don't remember, you know, of course, anything, but I was found in a stair lot across from the train station. by a mentally disabled guy. So they called 911, and friends of mine that are nurses now said, Mary, you were brain dead. So anyway, I was in the hospital. From there, tubes and everything, I woke up, because God has a plan, right? So I woke up, from there they sent me to Trenton State Hospital. This is 1976. Okay, the only thing I knew about, I never knew anybody that used drugs and stayed clean afterwards or whatever. Nobody. I knew one guy, he went to Narco, because he killed a bunch of people in a car accident. And in Narco, they used to let you have Valium, you could do any as long as you didn't do shoot that. But anyway, so I go from the hospital to paddy wagon, takes me to Trent State Hospital. I'm in Trent State Hospital, they tell me they're going to detox me. No message of recovery or anything like that. So then, Trent State Hospital, they're like, well, we have these options. They sent me, they sent me to Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania had it going on. And to Pottstown, from the state hospital, I went to Carrier Clinic, which is like, movie star type, right? Still, they sent us to a meeting, and a girl was up there talking about blackouts, and I could relate a little bit, because I was an alcoholic too. I still didn't get it. So from there, I went to Pottstown, to a halfway house. Again, intense therapy, screaming, hollering at you, all kinds of shit, right? I stayed clean for a couple months. I got kicked out of there for something. And then I hooked up with a guy in detox. He was adorable. And a couple months later, I'm shooting dope again. I'm living in Norristown, Maine and Noble. Had an apartment. At that time too, check this out, they used to come to your rehabs and back then they used to have grants for smart people. Found out I was really smart, who fucking knew? I didn't know I was smart, right? So they got me scholarships to college and all this stuff, but I'm shooting dope, okay? Anyway, I started college and I'm living at Maine and Noble and I'm living with this crazy man and my brother dies. My brother was my family. He overdoses on barbs and alcohol. So my family comes and gets me, yada yada. I made a pact to him to not use. So I hook up with Eagleville outpatient, okay? This is the gospel truth. I'm hooked up with Eagleville outpatient. My one counselor is nodding. And when he's not nodding, he's hitting on me, okay? I'm not gonna say his name. And then they switched me to another counselor and he was just as crazy. And then my brother died. This guy's beating me. The guy I'm living with is beating the shit out of me. And I go back to Eagleville outpatient. Lo and behold, God has a plan. They switched my counselor to Vincetta. Okay, Vincetta says, I don't care about your brother. I don't care about your boyfriend. You need to go to meetings. So I'm like, fuck, I don't want to go to meetings. Whatever. So I go to this meeting. And I go to the meeting. And I find my first friend. Now, your friend's in your addiction, they're screwing your boyfriend, they're taking your money, they're fucking you over. And I meet my first friend, Paula. She's still my friend today. And it changed everything. I thought, I didn't want to be here, I had a chip on my shoulder. I didn't understand about one day, I never heard the message, one day at a time, one act helping another, all these things. And, but I kept coming back. I didn't want to be here, but I kept coming back. My life is amazing today. My friends are amazing. I could, like somebody said about Gates, better than that. My life is so much better than that. And this, I slept ready rolled for like a year. I was crazy. Just even not with the insanity and everything. Just keep coming back. It's a wonderful program. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name's Paula. I'm the other Paula. There is another Paula. I'm the other Paula. It's such a great turnout today. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. I was introduced to the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous in 1977 from Philadelphia. I don't know. I don't remember how I got to Norristown, to Maine and Sweet, but that corner, Maine and Sweet, is so significant because I had to wait for the van, the white van, that to come and pick me up. They were going to give me a ride. You walked that dusty, but I got a ride from Maine and Sweet to the sprawling ground, and it isn't anything like it was. I felt like I was in the country at a country club. I couldn't believe it that this was going to be the place that was going to introduce me to what I now know is unconditional love and put people in my life that I didn't know that they were going to be able to help me. But before that, I just need to give a shout out to St. Luke's Hospital for taking me in a million times and detoxing me. And it was a time when there was, you know, the dope was so good. I just, after a few days, I wasn't detoxed enough. They let me drink the bug juice and eat all the sugar I needed. And Reds Peterson made the referral here so I could get here. And that, I didn't even realize till long after I got here. Then I met, you know, people like Kurt and Mary and Dan, and I don't want to forget people's names, but the fellowship. So long, you know, I was an alcoholic and an addict. That's the way we identified ourselves. I stayed here in treatment, which to me is a luxury that women were allowed to be in treatment. People were allowed to be in treatment for 9 months. And that's a gestation period. I just, like, who paid for that? That's unbelievable. But I don't want to forget about the reservation. I always talk about the reservation I had. And that was, I was just going to use one more time. And one more time lasted from 1977 to 1985. But in between that, when I was at Muncie, there were meetings being brought in from H&I. There were people in Williamsport, people were at White Deer Run. So I just want to mention these institutions. And when I came back, and that, I didn't really know, Sharon said, I don't remember when I got clean, neither do I, but that was the first honest decision I made based on that love. Never forgot that love. Patty and Joe, people worked here, so it was incestuous in a way because they worked here, but they took us to meetings. We had a meeting down, still have the meeting at Sunday night in the bowl. We beat pillows, so forth and so on. But they took us to meetings. We went wherever. We went to AA meetings. We were clean and sober. And then in 19, came back to the convention. What was the name of the convention in 1985? Not One Life to Live, that's a soap opera. But it was, and I came up the escalator, it was something out of Rain Man. I knew exactly where to go, a guy, you know, that, I don't know why he wanted to hit on me, I wasn't
step
even,
up to
I, what
step,
was it?
Step Up to Recovery.
Step Up to Recovery. And it was at the Wyndham downtown. And all those people I met in 1977, some of them who had, Dwayne and Mary came to 12-step me, all those people were there. Bobby was there. And that was the beginning of what I now know is this journey that staying clean must come first. You know, that it may be, I don't know that I agree with, it's not where we were, the counts, but where we are going, but I know how important it is to me today. Thanks.
I'm an addict by the name of Al.
Yeah.
Is this awesome or what? My clean date is September 25th, 1979. I used to say when I found Narcotics Anonymous, I think it was, what I've been saying more recently is that when Narcotics Anonymous found me, because I think it's probably a more accurate statement, because I didn't know what I was doing. And I was lucky enough to float into a meeting that George had started on Friendly Mill Street in Bristol, PA. In the first week of October, I was, you know, maybe 7 days clean. And that's when I found, or Narcotics Anonymous found me. You know, I camped out at the AA clubhouse, you know, quite a bit, because that's, I knew when I was there I was safe, you know, that they would kick me out at the end of the night, 11 o'clock. It was sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning on a weekend. They kicked me out. The coffee was well packed away. The donuts were gone. And it was time for you to go home, Sonny. But what happened was that we just, you know, just by attrition, we started more and more Narcotics Anonymous meetings because we knew that that's kind of where we belong. And eventually we had seven, you know, NA meetings in Bucks County. And we started to travel a bit. We went to the first East Coast convention when I had about 6 months. And it was quite eye-opening because there was a dude there from Atlanta. His name was Bo, and there was this other dude from, he said Wolf Creek, Oregon, I believe. His name was Greg. And they were working on the development of the basic text. You know, up until that time, you've heard people say that we were using the AA Big Book and or the 12 and 12 and crossing out alcohol and replacing it with drugs. I mean, that was our literature. We had the little white book and a few pamphlets. And a lot of us got involved with that process, you know, from that point forward. And kind of actually saw it through its fruition, and when it, you know, the basic text got approved in 1983, I believe, at the World Service Conference. But we were in this workshop in Memphis, Tennessee, in November '82, and our friends, they were asking, they needed a place to host a workshop to do the story section, to work on the editing of the story section for the basic text. Our good friend Teresa raised her hand and said, we can do it at their house. It was like me and George, where George and I lived, a farmhouse in Ivyland, which is, you know, maybe about an hour from here. And we had that workshop there in a very snowy, I mean, we went to pick people up at the airport in a Toyota Corolla, and it was amazing that we made it back because it was, you know, there was snow, you know, snow up to the rails on the Corolla. But and people, the farmhouse is probably about the square footage of, you know, this area right here. So there's people sleeping in the bathtub, in the closets, whatever the case may be. But we worked on the editing the story section, and then it was shortly after that the basic text went to the World Service Conference that next year for approval, and it was approved, was in fact approved. I was at one of those conferences in Miami where I met Bobby B, and his lovely wife is here today with us, and it's nice to have her here. He passed away a few years ago, and he was very instrumental in the, you know, Elwood shaking his head. Elwood was a very good friend of his, but he was very instrumental in the development of Narcotics Anonymous in and around the greater Philadelphia region and even beyond. There's so many people sitting in this room that were involved in development of Narcotics Anonymous way beyond Philadelphia. You know, certainly in the Philadelphia region. I've had the luxury over the last few years of traveling, you know, like Noel was talking about us being in Thailand last year, traveling I've been in maybe 9 countries in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm here to tell you that there's places where NA is still as underdeveloped as people that were the first people that got up here and spoke, you know, are. You know, there's 3 meetings in the country of Morocco. There's 31 million people there. Jim started NA in Iceland 35 years ago. There's 7 NA meetings a week in Iceland right now. They're all in the same building with 8 other fellowships. You want to talk about a mixed message? That's a pretty mixed message. They just got the basic text in Icelandic 3 years ago. We're incredibly fortunate with what we have here. NA in other areas is as underdeveloped as it was when, you know, the first people that got up here today spoke about it. But we're growing, and we need to grow. There's people dying right outside these doors here, right? So we still have a long ways to go. But this is an awesome event. I tell people at my anniversary every year that, you know, without you guys, there's a lot of people in this room that are the best friends, you know, that I've ever had, will ever have. You know, you all know who you are, and thanks for being here for me, and I'd be nothing without you. Thank you.
I'm a grateful recovering addict named Rick. Hi, everybody. First of all, I got to get one thing off my chest. I am so sick of going to a meeting and saying, we were here when the little white book was here. And they remember when the little white book was here, and I am so grateful for this meeting. I want to get up at those meetings and I want to tear their head off like, you do not know what the white book meant to us. I heard people describing scratching out Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very grateful. The first thing I want to say is I'm 59 years old, and it's amazing. I came in 1978, and I remember it was April because I remember I went to a Chaka Khan concert, and I was out of my mind, and next thing I know, I was in Building 16 in Norristown State Hospital. And NA and AA didn't mean nothing to me because I thought I was recovering from being mentally and constitutionally conscious to being clean. I couldn't even say it, right? But I thought I was recovering from mental illness. And I felt fortunate to hang on people's coattails like Kurt and David and where's Fred? Oh my God. And just different people in here. And Dwayne was my sponsor. I don't know if he was chosen or I chose him, but I think because we kind of like looked alike or something, he was my sponsor. He came to meetings and got me every day that there was a meeting. And there was a meeting in Norristown State Hospital. It was in Building 1. And I used to swear to God I was saying this as a metaphor of my life and what made me in Narcotics Anonymous. And I used to say that I just had my head on the desk or a table and I could hear people sharing and talking. And I thought that was just something I said because I had been on a whole bunch of medication. I had came from the street, right from, I understood now what a psychotic break was because I really did have one. I was 19 years old. Next thing I know, I was here, and then I was there, then I was here, and I broke out in all these other places. And then the meeting said that they were having a 40th year anniversary. Building 1 of Norristown State Hospital said they would celebrate 40 years of Narcotics Anonymous. And my mouth dropped open. I said, oh, wow. That was no metaphor. That was me in that building, being a patient, in that room, a meeting that H&I brought there, with my head on the table, and me hearing people share. It was no metaphor. It was real. And I was so grateful because this meeting is like showing me who I was, where I came from, and where I'm going because I haven't spoken Narcotics Anonymous meeting maybe 5 times in my whole life. I've been here since 1978, in and out a couple times. That's neither here nor there. But I'm very grateful for this program, for you people, for my life, and man, this is like the beginning for me again, because this is awesome. I'm really treasuring this moment. There's something that's eluding me about Norristown State Hospital that I wanted to share, but I am just very grateful to be here. This event, it will stick in my memory for a long time, and thanks for letting me share.
All right, well, it's 3 o'clock, and we have to wind it up. It's been an incredible event. Thank you all for supporting this. We have far more people here than we did for the 40th. Who's coming back for the 60th? Okay. If for any reason I'm not here, you know, I'll be here in spirit. And don't let me hear those cell phones going off. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to close it with the Serenity Prayer, and I think I'd like Elwood to lead us in that. As far as cake, can we have 2 volunteers, one on each cake, to cut it up? And Moose is first in line, definitely. Moose gets cake. So we'll pass out some cake, give out some hugs, and we'll see you in 10 years, if not before.
Circle up.
My pleasure.
We got $280. Is that phenomenal?
It's great.
It really is.
Yeah, it's on you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Elwood. I'm an addict.
Elwood!
it. And thank God for the people that came before us.
Yeah.
But most important, let's never forget the guy or gal coming through the door for the first time. We have the utmost responsibility to take care of these people, to take care of our young, because they're the future of Narcotics Anonymous. Let's take a moment of silence. For the still sick and suffering addict, followed by the Wee version of this morning prayer. God,
grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God's will of our hearts be done.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate having you.